just sit there and don't feel like you have to say anything. These were the words of one of my mentors as we were going to see a church member before they were to undergo a really risky surgery. And so in the anxiety chamber of the hospital waiting room, we just sat. Often it was quiet, prayers had been said, and there was nothing that we could really do to make a stressful situation any better besides showing this family that they were not alone in this trying time through our presence of being with them. That day I said little, and driving back to the church, the wisdom of my senior pastor that was handed down to me about the importance of a ministry of presence weighed heavy. Also, she mentioned that I probably shouldn't drink 3 cups of coffee before going to visits like this because my foot couldn't stop tapping. But as a habitual fixer, it's hard for me to refrain from rushing to a solution or taking care of some kind of problem. In larger contexts, I can be very busy working around a bug or a problem or a deadline in a way that soothes myself, but doesn't bring about real peace or healing or a solution. And those words, "don't feel like you have to say something," are some that I should probably take to heart a little bit more. But if we look at our scripture today, my actions trend towards being more of a Martha than a Mary. Anybody there with me, right? In the chat, just let us know. But that's not a bad thing, okay? Even though this story may play out a little bit differently. And if you're a Mary, that's not a bad thing either. And as we see, Mary and Martha are not always the Mary and Martha that's portrayed in our story either. There's a balance in their actions that allows kind of this both and that we see in scripture as we compare and contrast the choices that these two sisters make when Jesus comes to dinner. Now, as we set the table for this encounter, we are in the 3rd week of our Breaking Bread with Jesus series, and Jesus finds his way to the home of Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus. In our gospel, this small story is sandwiched between Jesus talking about loving our neighbor by sharing the story that we know is the Good Samaritan, and right after it, Jesus is teaching the disciples how to pray. And so, just before this dinner, there's this story that calls us into action and going out of our way to extend hospitality. And then right after this story, it's about being reflective and prayerful in a way that asks God to be active in our lives. And so here we are. So Jesus makes his way to this home in a town named Bethany, which is about 2 miles away from the religious center, the temple at the time. And meeting these friends he cares deeply for, Jesus begins to teach, and those start to gather around, as happens to be, and to hear Jesus' teaching. Now, pop quiz. What is Jesus teaching about? Do you know? This is something we don't know, actually, because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is also the King of Object Lessons. And so we don't know what he's teaching about, but we do know that Mary is sitting at his feet listening. This would have been completely uncommon for a woman to openly be learning from a rabbi in the 1st century. This just was not a thing, especially because she was one of the hosts of Jesus. It would have been more typical for her to choose Martha's path, which was to make sure that the house was in order, that there was food and drink for everyone. And the weird part is, Jesus doesn't even make mention of Mary's choice until verse 40, when Martha finally says something to Jesus. And she's fed up with working while her sister just sits around and doesn't help with anything. And if I were to play this vision out in a scene, I think it would have played out where, you know, Martha kind of meekly walks over to Jesus and stands uncomfortably close enough to get his attention in a way that he would have to pause. And then in kind of a timid, but also forceful, stage whisper, she would have said something to the effect of, "Teacher, I've been working hard all night long. No thanks to my sister Mary. I made sure the house was ready and the food was prepared, and I continued to refill drinks and swept up messes. Jesus, tell my little sister to come and help me." Now, again, stage whisper, loud enough, so that now everyone knows the situation, and Jesus points out at this point the difference in the choices that the sisters have made. And he says, "Martha, you are distracted by many things." And the Greek word here, peraspato, means being distracted or drawn away from that which is important. Isn't that interesting? That she had missed what was most important. Both women have earnest hearts, and they want to make their time with Jesus a kind of act of worship, right? They know what he means. And so one pulls out all the stops and creates this fantastic dinner party. And yet, that's not what Jesus asked for. He would have been happy with a simple meal. And still, it's not the hospitality that Jesus points out, but rather the distraction that Martha has. And now, to be honest, I'm one of those that can be distracted too, right? Like, you know, sometimes we are in meetings and physically or mentally check out. I was on a call the other day with clergy from around our area, and I just wasn't feeling it. I had to be there. It was mandatory. But I turned off my camera, and I vacuumed and mopped the floor while I listened with my earbuds. I chose Martha's path. But then later that same night, my kids insisted on a screen-free dinner. And it was a blast, telling stories and playing games around the dinner table. My middle schooler, Eden, her suggestion turned out to be one of the highlights of my week because we were present. Jesus' words to Martha are powerful and may serve as a great guide for us. He says, "There is only one thing necessary, and your sister has chosen it." This week, as I've read and studied this passage, what has jumped out to me is that there is a gift in being present. Or if I wasn't so controlled with my puns, I might say that there is a present in being present. But I would never take such low-hanging dad joke fruit, okay? So I would save you guys from that. Nevertheless, Jesus invites people to be present with him often. He invites himself over for meals, or he invites others to go and pray with him. Even Martha's hospitality was a gift of being present until the distraction of her sister's choice consumed her thoughts. And so this week, I want to encourage you to be intentional about asking how you might be with God and others this week. This is part of that better option being needing reconciliation with God and others. And so choosing to be present allows us to compare our decisions, not compare our decisions about what other people are doing, but rather find joy and contentment in our current circumstances. And so I want to give you three quick, really practical ways to get the most out of your intentional time with God and others while you're being present. Number one, make sure that you minimize distractions. Whether it's setting up time with people or with God, minimize the things that are going to distract you. Put your phone away, go into a quiet space, set yourself up for success even before the conversations and interactions begin. Secondly, ask questions. We learn about others and ourselves when we explore together. When you reflect on scripture or share in conversations with others, ask questions that go deeper than just the surface. Ask questions that you couldn't answer from just a Google search, right? Those aren't interesting questions, but deeper questions are. And then finally, after we prepare and eliminate distractions and then ask deeper questions, enjoy the silence. I'm reminded of a story about an interview with Mother Teresa when she was asked by a news reporter what she says in her prayers. Her response was, "Nothing. I just listen." The interviewer, kind of stumped, then asked the question, well, what does God say? And in reply, she said, nothing. God just listens. I think this is brilliant advice. To talk less and let your thoughts and reflections form. Being present in this way allows us all to come to the common table and lean into that conversation so that everyone can be heard and the Holy Spirit might have room to move. And when we're all able to get out of the way and let the Spirit have some space to guide that table talk, lives change, hope abounds, and the kingdom of God draws close. Friends, may you be present this week so that life doesn't pass you by, but that you might encounter and be present in and with God in all that you do. Amen.